Let your light shine in the sun, no, if it's raining. Let your light shine brightly, beaming with hope. Let your light shine, help the people with them pain. Let your light shine.
Welcome to the Nonprofit Bookkeeper, the podcast where we shine a light on mission-led businesses, social entrepreneurs, and impact-driven founders who are doing good in the world while building sustainable and profitable models, and where we delve into the topics that matter most to them. I'm your host, Aisha. I want to start with a scene that might sound familiar. You're in a staff meeting. Someone asks, can we go ahead and book the venue for the event? Or can we hire the new youth worker now, or should we wait? And the response comes back, maybe from you, or maybe from a colleague, well, we think we're okay. The last finance report looked fine. Let's just go ahead. Here's the truth. We think we're okay isn't a strategy. We think we're okay isn't a strategy. Yet, in a lot of small charities, that's how decisions are being made. Not because people don't care, not because leaders are careless, but because the information isn't always at their fingertips. This episode is about why that has to change. Why real-time finance isn't some luxury that only big charities can afford. It's not about having a daily dashboard or an in-house finance department. It's about clarity, it's about leadership, and it's about making sure your organization isn't just surviving month to month, but planning for the future with confidence. So let's start. When you don't have real-time numbers, you end up paying the cost. Sometimes financial, sometimes reputational, and sometimes emotional. Let me walk you through what I mean. Imagine you're making a decision today based on a report that's 6 weeks old. A lot can happen in 6 weeks. A funder payment delayed, a bill that came in larger than expected, or even a donor pulling back. So you approve spending because on paper it looked fine, but in reality, the bank balance can't support it. And that's how organizations slide into overdrafts. Or that frantic phone call to the treasurer saying, can you just transfer something over? So that's about spending on outdated reports. Now let's look at delaying recruitment or programs. So for example, I've seen a situation where a charity held back on hiring a youth worker for months because they weren't sure if the money was there. But when the accounts were finally reconciled, it turned out the funds were sitting there unused all along. Who loses out in that sort of a situation? Probably the young people who needed that support, and staff, of course, who ended up stretched and demoralized. Here's another cost: strategic misalignment. If you don't have a clear picture of your funding gaps, you may chase the wrong grants. You end up applying for restricted program funding when what you actually needed was core cost cover. Or you don't apply at all because you think you're fine, only to hit a shortfall 3 months later. Also, finance that feels reactive, always playing catch-up, erodes trust. Staff begin to feel leadership is making decisions in the dark. Trustees start to doubt whether they're being given the whole picture. And funders can pick up on that instability too. Once trust is lost, it takes years to rebuild. The cost of guessing is high and often invisible until it's too late. So when I say real time, I know some of you are already thinking of complicated finance systems with dashboards updating every 5 minutes. Let me assure you, that's not what I mean. For small charities, real time finance is about clarity, not speed. Here's what it looks like in practice. Up-to-date bookkeeping. At minimum, your books should be brought up-to-date monthly. Weekly is better if you have a lot of transactions, but monthly is enough for small organizations. What matters is that the records reflect reality, not just once a quarter when the accountant does the VAT return. Also, it's not enough to know what's in the bank. You need to know what's committed. That grant money sitting in the account, Some of it may be restricted to a project you haven't started yet. Reconciling means you can say with confidence, this amount is free to use. This amount is spoken for. Too many organizations can't answer the question, what does it cost just to keep the lights on? Real-time finance means you can see your overheads separate from your program costs. It gives you a baseline, so you know exactly what funding you need just to exist and what's needed to expand. A simple cash flow forecast. Notice that I say simple. You don't need a 10-tab spreadsheet. You need a clear tracker of money in and money out, showing the months where you might dip into red if nothing changes. It's not about predicting the future with 100% accuracy. It's about spotting risk early enough to act. Real time doesn't mean you're staring at numbers all day, every day. It means when someone asks, can we do this? You can look at a recent report, maybe from last week or last month, and answer with confidence instead of guesswork. Because remember, you don't need speed, you need clarity. So how do you move from guessing to clarity? Especially if you don't have a finance team, or if you're wearing multiple hats yourself. Here are some practical steps. Firstly, assign a regular finance slot. Put it in the diary, once a month minimum. This is the time you look at the numbers, update the cash flow, and make decisions. If you don't schedule it, it will always get pushed aside by more urgent tasks. And then create a shared folder. I'm talking basics here. Google Drive, OneDrive, Dropbox. But keep it organized. Same naming structure each month. Finance report, September 2025. No mystery documents that version 1 or final version. A naming structure that's consistent from month to month. Because when reports are easy to find, they're more likely to be used. Also, ask your bookkeeper for plain language reports. You don't need a 20-page management report. You need something that tells you what's in the bank, what's committed, and what's coming up. If your bookkeeper sends reports full of jargon, ask them to strip it down. Plain language builds confidence. In addition, use a cash flow tracker that makes sense to you. Some people love spreadsheets. Others prefer simple templates with color coding. The tool doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand it and actually use it. If you stare at it and feel overwhelmed, it's the wrong tool. And this is a powerful one. Train your board to ask better questions. Trustees often shy away from finance because they don't want to look silly. Give them 3 questions to ask at every meeting. What's our unrestricted cash position? Are there any risks in the next 3 months? Do we have funds for the commitments we're making today? If every trustee asks those questions, the quality of decision making would rise. And here's the key message. Every one person can make this happen. You don't need a finance department. You need commitment and clarity. So let's talk about the real benefits of shifting from catch-up to planning ahead. Because this isn't just about avoiding mistakes. It's about building confidence. When you stop catching up and start planning ahead, doors open. One such benefit is you're able to negotiate payment terms ahead of when it's required. So if you know a cash dip is coming up in October, you can speak to suppliers in July about spreading payments. That's proactive and it builds credibility. It also helps with planning program delivery. Instead of canceling or delaying at the last minute, you can align your programs with when funds will actually arrive. That creates stability for staff and beneficiaries alike. Also, it enables you to apply for funding with real figures. When you're filling in a grant application with rough estimates is stressful. Walking in with accurate current numbers changes the conversation. It signals professionalism and funders notice. And most importantly, confidence grows. Staff stop feeling like they're waiting for the next crisis. Trustees stop panicking at board meetings. Leaders stop second-guessing themselves because you're no longer reacting, you're anticipating. And here's the final message I want to leave with you. Small doesn't mean disorganized. Too often, small charities excuse poor financial visibility by saying, "We're just small." But being small can actually be an advantage. You're more agile. You don't have layers of bureaucracy. You can implement simple systems quickly. Real-time numbers are not about perfection. They're about building the foundation for calm, confident leadership. So stop guessing. Stop making decisions with that uneasy feeling in your stomach and start leading from a place of financial truth. Because when you know the numbers, you can shape the future instead of just surviving it. Thank you for listening. If this resonated with you, share it with a colleague, a trustee, or someone in your network who needs to hear it. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. I'm Aisha, and this has been the Nonprofit Bookkeeper. Thanks for listening. Let your light shine.